want to bring you a verse this morning from Ezekiel 33.
Ndikufuna kuti ndikukumbutseni verse inamene yopeza kwa buku la Ezekiel 33 takare ngapo.
Verse 11.
Akhala verse 11 amene.
And then towards the end of the verse where it says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?
Uziti nawo palini ati Ambuye Yehova sindikondwa nayo imfa ya oyipa koma kuti oyipa yo aleke njira yake nakhale ndi moyo.
It says, turn ye from your evil ways, why would you die?
Ndakunena kuti bwererani, bwererani inu kuleka njira zanu zoyipa muferanji.
And that word the Lord has for us today. Not only for then, but also for us today. His word is still going out. And he's saying, turn ye, why would you die? And in reality, he's saying, repent, repent. That's what turn ye means. It means this, that they were walking one direction. And that direction is the wrong direction. And he's saying, turn around and go the other way. Now, it might be something very interesting. Because in the chapter that we read, you might recognize something. It has to do with righteousness and wickedness. You know, because it's one thing we do is we try to find out where our sins are. We do that often. We try to figure out what sins do we have to stop. What do we have to stop doing? What do we have to start doing better? And that's not what the Lord is speaking. You see, that's what Israel was doing then too. A lot of times we think, we need to know what we can and can't do. Now, even what we talked about before, drunkenness, idolatry, all these things, those are good things to talk about. And even the teaching was very good. If it's serving the purpose for a better community, then do so. But it doesn't have to do with your salvation. You're not going to get better and then get to heaven. Believe me. And I need to warn. Nowhere in God's word does it say, if you will stop getting drunk and stop idolatry and do, and live a better life, you will be happy. And you'll go to heaven. Because God will be pleased with you. And that's the problem with religion today. Do you think God is going to say this? Ah, this man here, he was doing pretty good. He was doing less gossip. But this man, he much gossip. And this woman, she's pretty good. She only did three times let a man in. But this woman 20 times. She's much better. You see, that's our trouble. God is not saying, God is not looking at you and saying, how good did you do on earth? No, there's a different way. Salvation is not about your righteousness. How much you've tried. How good you've been. And it's certainly not what you've been able to hide. Because God sees you. It's so much that even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they said they were teaching the people too. You can't commit adultery. You shouldn't let someone in. And don't seek another woman to marry. And then the people, like you, they were trying their best. When they did it, they would do it secret. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were teaching. Don't do that. And then they were saying, no, we're not doing it. And then the Pharisees and Sadducees, we don't commit adultery, right? And everyone
said,
no, 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 no. And then they would say, then the Pharisees and Sadducees would say,
hallelujah.
And everyone would say, amen. You know what the Lord Jesus said? See, when the Lord Jesus came, he came to expose. And he saw that. And he said, really?
So not this?
No. Then he was doing teaching. Now this is not my teaching. But this is teaching of Jesus Christ. Because some men, they were saying, I don't commit adultery. I'm a good man. Good husband. I don't do those things. I go to church. So the Lord Jesus came. And he sat down. And he said, man. Maybe he'll say, you don't. Moses says we should commit adultery. The man said, but you know what he said? He said, but man, I tell you something. I'm bigger, greater than Moses. Said the Lord Jesus.
Yes,
he said, you know, if you look at a woman, you already
commit
adultery. But
you
know
what
he said? You see, so the Lord Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew that many men were saying, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And then there was some woman. And the Pharisees were saying this. Woman, we may not steal. We cannot be thieves. So you can't go to the cornfield to take some extra corn. And don't go to the sugar fields. To take one. Because that's stealing. And the woman said, hallelujah, amen. We don't do that. No, we don't do that. No, we can't do that. The Bible says don't steal. We can't go to the field to steal one stalk of sugar cane. No. The Lord Jesus said, okay.
Yes,
but then he said something else. He said, ladies, even if you look at the corn, and say, oh, I would love to have. You have already stolen.
You know what?
And that's what this chapter is talking about. He's saying this. If you have the Lord is saying through the prophet Ezekiel. He's saying, even if you teach each other, don't be drunk, don't steal, don't lie, that's That's even good
for each other.
But it's not good for salvation. You will not go to heaven. And when you know there's a problem with drunkenness here, for the community, it's good to make rules. Because bad things happen when people or men are drunk. But don't ever think that because you are doing these things, making rules and such, that God is any happier with you. He's looking at your heart. He's looking right into your heart. That's where God is looking. He's not seeing your lips. That's not what he's judging. But he's looking right in your heart. You know, someone might gossip. Say something bad about someone. And then their lips move. And they maybe have anger. But another person doesn't say anything. But in her heart, she's very angry. And in your mind, you say this: I want to kill him. Nobody knows because you didn't say it with your mouth.
Yes, I can get a
But in your mind, you're beating him. That's what God sees. And that's for each one of us. And that's why the Lord said, turn ye, turn ye. Repent, repent. Now I need to tell you something before I go further. What is he saying to repent from? Does someone want to help me? Turn what? Turn ye, turn ye from what? Did you listen to what I was being read? Can someone help me? Don't you try? Repent from what?
We have to repent our sins.
What sins? So we just thank you very much. We just established that if even if you repent from that, it's not going to get you to heaven. Listen, it's good not to kill. It's good not to steal. But that's not what God is calling us to repent from. That's not what he's calling us to repent from. A lot of people think that's what we have to repent from. But it goes further, deeper. It says, turn ye, or repent, repent from the false gospel.
It's
saying repent from believing that if you do better, you're going to be saved. Listen carefully. In verse 10, we read, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the children Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? So, this is what the Lord's saying to our church today. Just like he was saying then. The church was saying this. This is what he means here. He says, you say, this is what you're saying. The Lord is saying, to the people, you people are saying to me, if our transgressions and our sin be upon us and we find a way in them, how should we then live? Because the Lord is saying this. You're a thief. You're a robber. You're a drunkard. Witchcraft, whatever. You have sins. Even if you change tomorrow. Or today. What are you going to do with all the sins from behind? And the Lord was saying, no, you're going to get punished for that. And then the people were saying, okay, but so you're saying if we have to be punished for this, if we have to be punished for this, how then shall we live? How can we be saved? This was the people's predicament. Because the Lord was convicting them. And Ezekiel was looking at the people. He was walking through the village. And he's seen a drunkard. And he said, you have to pay for your iniquity. You will die. He was saying to the woman, you brought someone in last night. You're an adulteress. You have to die. You have charms with you. You have to die. That's witchcraft. And people were saying, how shall we live? How shall we be saved? If God is saying we must bear our own iniquity, read it again. If our transgressions and our sins be upon us and we pine away in them, how should we then live?
And
you know what that pined away means? We're suffering among
you.
We don't know how to change. You know what they would do? They would say, Ezekiel.
Ezekiel.
Do you know our culture? This is our culture. And Ezekiel would say, no. Maybe it's your culture. But you're still going to die. You're still going to get punished. God doesn't look and say, ah, it's their culture. I have to let them go. Ezekiel was hurt. He was very precise. They were looking for excuses.
Because
Ezekiel went to a woman.
He
said, you have a man coming to your house? You'll be punished. Then the woman said this. Ezekiel. No. I don't have a husband. I have three children. I had no choice. I have to feed them. Then Ezekiel said,
Ezekiel Kampanga,
I am not God. But God says you are an adulteress. You have to be punished for your sins. This is why the people were saying, we're pining away, we're suffering. It's been like this for 50 years. We're getting weaker and weaker. Even more hungry and hungry all the time. We're suffering. And the Lord said, yes. I can't help you. You must suffer for your sin. and you must be punished for your sin.
Nadi mulangiwe namachimwa.
You know, and then there was some people that come in the village, and they said, "People, come! Don't listen to Ezekiel. He's telling lies. Just believe the gospel. Jesus Christ is good. Come, come." That's what people were doing. And the people said, "Oh, yes." And then they said the Lord will bless you. He's doing miracles. And then healing people. And Ezekiel said, "No." He's playing
witch.
And the Lord was displeased. Because the Lord seen all the false gospel preachers. And Ezekiel was by himself. And then Ezekiel said this. Through prophecy. He said, "The people are asking, if the transgressions be upon me, how shall I then live?" Now God is going to be honest. And because God is an honest God, God is good. But he's good to those who turn. Listen to what he says. He says, "I have no pleasure in your death."
In verse 11.
I don't have pleasure in the death of who? Look what it says here. Of the wicked. He's being honest. He's saying this now. Ezekiel, the preacher, he goes like this. Now that you're exposed, God doesn't have pleasure on your death, you wicked person. And if there's anybody here who's still righteous, then you can't be wicked. But I promise you, he's talking to wicked people. See, there's some people. there were some people here. And they said, "Huh? Did he just say wicked? Did he just say wicked people?" And maybe a man was sitting here. And he said, "No, we can't commit adultery. We can't do these bad things." Then Ezekiel said, "The Lord doesn't have desire on the death of wicked." The man said, "Did you say wicked?" Ezekiel said, "Yes."
Ezekiel
said, "Oh,
that's
not for me. I'm a good person. You see? And he left. And some women left because they said, "No, we're not wicked." But that's exactly who the gospel was going to go to. And we preach today a gospel of Jesus Christ to wicked people. Which means we preach the gospel to drunker people who get drunk. Means the gospel is for people who are adulterers and adulteresses. God doesn't save the righteous.
Yes,
He saves sinners. And that's why I'm preaching to you. And I say to you too. If there's any here today
who
feels righteous, like you're a good person, then it makes no sense to be longer. This is not a preaching for you. But if you are wicked, yea, the wickedest people in the village, then a gospel can touch your heart. But it was very hard for these people. Listen to this. He says to them, he said to them, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Then he says, turn ye from your evil ways, and why will you die? And now he's going to explain something. We go to verse 12. He says, therefore, thou son of man, say to the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in that day of his transgression.
You're
hearing this? So he's saying, this is their mistake. This is the people's problem. Even their self-righteousness will not save them in the day of his transgression. Even that which you maybe don't do, maybe you're not a drunkard. Maybe you don't get drunk. And he's saying, that's not going to save you in the day of your iniquity. So you see, maybe you're not drunk. But then you go into the field. And you take a sugar cane. And then you say, oh, you say, I have taken sugar cane in your mind. But that's okay. Because I'm not a drunkard. You see? Many people are doing that. They are saying, I'm not so bad. I don't do this, I don't do that. So the few things I don't do good, it will cover it. See, the Lord is saying this. Why are you people so foolish? Why do you think your righteousness will save you? He says, And for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. So now he's talking to two groups of people. He's talking to wicked people and righteous people. Now we know righteous people don't exist by out of themselves. But he's talking to people who feel like they are righteous. And that's who we're preaching to today. Are you righteous? Or are you wicked? Is the wickedness of your heart being revealed? And when we preach this word, because we can't preach you a gospel if our wickedness is not exposed. And I need to tell you something. You know what the greatest wickedness is in Malawi? The greatest wickedness is culture. Culture. Do you hear me?
It's
culture. You are married to culture. You are married to your tradition. And therefore, we reject the truth of the Bible. Look, when we're married to culture, we cannot be married to God's word, which is Christ. And I hear that all the time as an excuse. This is our culture. You have to understand. When I'm stopped by the police here, and they have their schemes, and they're trying to take from me, and they're having a hard time, they say to Aubrey, in Chichewa, have you not told him about our culture? You need to teach him. This is how it works here. This is how it goes here. And that's how it goes with us all. What's the worst for us? This is the truth. And the truth is painful. I see a lot of churches. Maybe here too. How it goes? We will come to church. As long as we're part of an organization, and we can get some aid, bag of corn, some new bots, some new blankets. And so many people are church members for a bag of corn. When we need to do some aid work, we say to the pastor, can I have a list of your people? They come back. We have 50 families. How can 50 families fit in there? You're a big church. This is true. And then you come there on Sunday. They have 50 families. And so you come there on a Sunday. And you see 8 people. And you say, where's the people? Oh, a funeral. This is the truth. And why am I saying this? I don't like to inflict pain. But if I don't tell you the truth, then later on, when we wake up on the day of judgment and stand before God, I have to give an account too. And you're not going to be able to say, the Zungu came and didn't warn us. I have to warn you. That's my work as an evangelist. And I'm calling out to you as I preach this word to you. Repent. Turn. They were thinking, no, my righteousness is going to be okay. I'm a church goer. I go at least once a month to church. I sing. I pray. I'm going to be okay. But it's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. Because you can't go to heaven with your own righteousness. You cannot go to heaven with doing good works. There's only one way. One way only. And that is to be saved. By the work and person of Jesus Christ. That is to receive forgiveness of sin. By confessing our sin. By going to God in prayer. By yourself. You need to meet God. And I ask you. Have you met God yet? Don't be quick. Don't be so quick. You'll even still get your bag of corn. Don't worry. Don't say, yes, I've met God, so that you can get your bag of corn. Today we have gospel preaching. I ask you again. Have you met God? Have you had a meeting with him? If you have, you know what he looks like. My friends, come in.
Am I
Kalibo. Why not? Why not? Girls, even the gospel's for you.
You don't tell me about it.
What? What?
I think we're grade 5. What are you saying? We don't understand it. Just reply. We're in grade 5.
I ask you again. Have you met God? Have you been there? Have you been to his feet? You see, this is a hard question. Because we think, we're trying to think it in a carnal way. But what does Bible say? Bible says by faith we come to him. And do you know what a wicked person comes to when he meets God? When you come to God, when a sinner comes to God, do you know what he looks like? He is angry. He is furious. His wrath is hot. When you come to him, just the way you are. That's why I'm telling you, you can't come to him. You can't go to him. You will be slain in one moment. He will say, take her away from me, she's wicked. Take him away from me. He's vile. You can't go to him. He is an avenger of all those who have done him evil. But there is a way to. And that's through the gospel. My friends, you don't have to change your life. You need Jesus Christ to be a representative for you. You must go to Jesus Christ, his son. In prayer. And know Jesus Christ. You can take my spot. And you can take me to your Father. And when Jesus Christ takes you there, by faith, then you find a very kind Father. A very forgiving Father. A Father, a God full of love. And full of compassion. But don't attempt it yourself. You need a mediator. You need Jesus Christ to stand in your place. You need forgiveness of sins. Your sins need to be washed away. And how is it possible that Jesus Christ is acceptable by his Father? How can Jesus Christ take you by the hand and bring you to the Father? How is that possible? And the Father's wrath is not against you. It's very simple. Now, maybe someone says here, that's because he died on the cross. And you would be right. Except what does it mean that he died on the cross? If he didn't die on the cross, would he be able to bring us to him? No. So that means that the dying on the cross was the only way to have us be accepted by him. So we could say that's because he died on the cross. But let's get more specific. When he went to the cross, when Jesus Christ went to the cross and was murdered, what was he doing? What has he achieved by dying on the cross? It's a very bad example to be on your phone. What did he accomplish? You see, Jesus Christ, he went to the cross and took the sins of all those who come to him. Took those sins upon himself. Him and the sins was nailed to the cross. And when he finished his work, what did he produce? He bled and he died. What in all of that, what did he merit? What did he produce? There's one word. Does anyone want to help me? It's righteousness. Because I'm unrighteous. I think I'm righteous. But God's now telling me, repent, repent. You think you're righteous? You think you're better than other people? No, you're not. There's only one person who is better than all. And that's Jesus Christ. And his righteousness is acceptable before God. Now I need to help you out a little bit. Maybe you say, what is righteousness? Well, we know in the beginning of that word is we hear the word right. Opposite from right is wrong. So, wrong and right. And the only way for you to come before God is to be right. To be perfect. Are you hearing me? Because even if you only ever committed one sin, if that was ever possible, that all you did is commit one sin on this earth, you only stole one sin in your life, you're not right before God. You're not right before God. You're wrong before God. And God says, you will only come to me if you're right. If you're just. If you're perfect. If you're holy. If you're sanctified. If you're clean. If you're pure, that's righteous. Ability to come in God's presence. And Ezekiel was saying, through the word of the Lord, he was saying this. He was saying, Let's read verse 13.
Verse 13.
When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it.
Ndikanena kwa olungama kuti adzakhala ndi moyo ndithu, akatama chilungamo chache akachita chosalungama, sizikumbukirika zosalungama zake zilizonse, koma mchisalungama chache anachita mmwemwe adzafa.
And then it says in verse 14, and this is gospel.
14 so far.
He says, again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right.
Ndipo ndikanena kwa oyipa udzafa ndithu, koma akabwerera iye kuleka machimo ake nakachita choyenera ndi chilungamo.
If the wicked restore the pledge,
oyipayo akabweza chikole,
give again that he had robbed,
nabweza icho analanda mwa uchifwamba,
walk in the statutes of life,
nayenda m'malemba amoyo osachita chosalungama,
without committing iniquity,
osachita chosalungama,
he shall surely live,
adzakhala ndi moyo,
he shall not die,
ndithu sadzafa.
There's a requirement here.
Ena kufuna nyaka tichite.
And some people will maybe quickly take this, I have to do better.
Ena kuzonora basi nifuna niyambe kuchita mabwino zabwino zabwino.
But it's saying here, and do that which is lawful and right.
Koma unena kuti akuchita zokhazo chimene chili cholondola komanso chimene chili cholungama.
What is lawful?
What
is lawful to do? In the gospel. What are you allowed? What is the only thing that is lawful to do?
In the gospel. My
friends, listen so carefully. Because this is so confusing for most people. What is lawful? So many people say this. Ah, not to steal, not to rob, not to blah, 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 blah.
Because the Muslims know Sarah Mamula Managudia, Sabe, Sadiji Golo, Sarani, Sarani, Sarani.
But that's not it. Because as much as you want, even try, you can't make it.
You can't do it.
You can't
do it.
So what is lawful?
Repent.
And believe the gospel. What is lawful? To believe that Jesus Christ is your righteousness. That's the law of the gospel. Are you hearing me? You have the law of the Ten Commandments. That's on this side. Ten Commandments. That's the law speaking to you. Yes, you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a law of the gospel on this side. The law of the Ten Commandments says, do this. Do that. But what's the purpose? Because we can answer, law, if I do that, what do I get? If I stop stealing, if I stop doing
adultery,
what can I have? The law says nothing. Nothing. It's just my demand. The law is hard. Are you following me? My dear friends. Because I'm hearing so much different. I'm hearing you trying to do the law. So that you can be saved. And I'm telling you it's wrong. Over here the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And you say, okay law, let's have a talk. If I stop adultery, what are you going to
do?
What can I have? And the law is answering you.
It's
saying nothing. It's just my demand. I have nothing to offer you. It's my demand. I'm just the law. You see, it's the same thing as this.
Maybe
you're driving on the road. And the sign for the speed says 80 kilometers an
hour. And you
go 80 kilometers an
hour.
Then you go to the government. You say, government,
Boma.
I only drive 80 kilometers an hour. And listen, I was good. Now what can I have? Give me something for being good. The police are going to say no. You just obey the law. You don't have anything to give you.
Of course.
What do you want? What do you think you're going to get from us? Nice gift. A new car. Are you crazy? You see, are you following me? So in your life, the law says don't commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not steal and do not rob, do not murder. And you guys have been coming
here. Now
we're doing good. We're trying our best. Now, Law, what can we get from
you?
We're doing good. And the Law says, no, nothing. You're following me, right? That is people, and I believe it's here too, who are trying to gain righteousness by keeping the law. Now that's the law over here. And I just preached to you the law. That it's forcing you to obey, but it will not give you a reward. Now a sinner comes and says, you have no reward? And the law says no. And the sinner says this. Well, actually, I haven't even done that good. So you say, no use. What's the use? What's the purpose? Every time. I do something. The law, when I go in the village, the law bang hits me down. And when I go out at night time, I look around, make sure nobody's looking. The law says, and your heart beats. And you sneak over into a field, and all of a sudden you hear, hey! And the person says, what are you doing here? I'm just looking for my shoes. And the law says, you liar! First you went to steal. Now you're lying? And the person says, you are going to steal something. And you say, no. And you know what's worse? You bear false witness. Because you want to get out of this situation. You say, God knows. I was looking for my shoe. We even dare to bear false witness. So the whole law is banging us. And we get pushed deeper because the law says, guilty. Now, this is exactly what Ezekiel is trying to say. Or actually, God through Ezekiel. Let me make it as plain as I can. They were all going to the law. And they were thinking, okay, law, we will do what you say.
Amaluza amujela mulo ifetipanga zimene wakutira mula.
And they would go into the village again and do all these things. But Jeremiah is over here. And he's saying, you're going to die. You're cursed. The law tells you. The law is condemning you. And the people are saying, whoa. What do we do? We're trying to do the law. I'm so tired.
Yeah,
I mean, 50 years old.
I'm
trying all my life. It's not working. And they say, isn't God unjust? Is he not equal? This is not fair. This is not right. This is the point. Jeremiah was preaching something. And it's hard to read. But I may tell you what it is. Jeremiah was preaching the gospel. Sorry, Ezekiel was preaching the gospel.
Ezekiel,
he was telling them the gospel.
Ezekiel,
and there was a few people that when they heard about this, they were broken in their heart. I hope there's some today that's breaking
their
heart. And actually what the gospel says is this. The gospel is over here. And it has a law too. But it's a living law. It's called the law of liberty. To be set free. And all people are going to the law over there. And the gospel is saying this.
Psst.
Come. Come here. I have something to tell you. That's what the gospel is doing. You see, the law is condemning you. The law is not giving you any reward. But you have to know that law is from God. And it's a holy law. But I have another way. And I want to tell you about this way. And that's my preaching today. If you are convicted, if your heart is broken, and you have to say, I'm like that person, I don't know how to do
it.
Then I'm saying something to you today. Through the word, I'm saying, psst. Hear the gospel. The gospel has also a law. And it's only one law. Be obedient in the faith. Believe in Jesus Christ. He can be your righteousness. He will be your reward. He will even be your curse. If you believe the gospel today, the gospel says, all who come unto me and receive my forgiveness, all who come to my feet, says Jesus Christ, and receive from me, I will no wise cast out. I will give them freedom. You know what that means? That means sinners today
who
have always been going to the law. Bang! Bang! Every time you may go today and you may go on your knees to the gospel. That means you need to take your own righteousness. It didn't work there. Maybe you went over here and you said, law, yesterday I didn't steal anything. Give me reward. The law is going to say, the day before you did, bang! The day before you did, bang! You see, the law is always hitting you. But when you go to the gospel, you have to take your own righteousness with. And you cannot come to the gospel and say, Lord, I'm not as bad as my neighbor. Lord, I used to steal, but I don't steal no more. So will you give me freedom? No, you have to come as you are. With all your self-righteousness. When you come to the gospel, you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have so much self-righteousness. I thought I was better than my neighbor. But I'm worse. I'm a sinner. Lord, I have had many men in my house. And I repent. And Lord, forgive me. Here it is, Lord. Take it from me, my guilt. The pain in my heart. You know what the Lord says? Give it all to me. Give it all. The Lord says, what else? What else is in your heart? What else is paining you? The Lord says, give it all to me. I will take it to the cross. I will die in your place. I will bleed in your place. Instead of you being beaten, I will be beaten for you. I will become your substitute. No, my friends, please listen carefully. I don't know if I will come back here. And I need to tell you everything. If you have such a Savior who takes all of your guilt, all of your pain, everything from you, and gives you peace in return, that's the reward. Rest in peace. Are you not going to adore this King? Will he not become precious to you? Wouldn't you have to say, why? Why would you do all this for me? You set me free? Lord Jesus says this to you today.
Yes,
I will. I will set you free. The gospel is saying, come all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you peace. Now I want to tell you something. If that happens to you, if that happens today too, where you stop going to the law, and today you go to Jesus Christ and you give him everything, you confess your sins and you do that. Now listen carefully. Do you think it's possible to continue any more in sin? My friends, that's the only way you'll fight sin is to be engrafted in him. So many people think, first I have to stop doing this
sin.
Then I'll get saved. No! You won't stop! Because you keep going to the law. But when you go to Jesus Christ, exactly as you are, he forgives you your sins. And he gives you, and he embraces you. If Jesus Christ forgives you, are you going to start hitting him? If Jesus Christ says, I forgive you all of your sins, are you going to stand up and hit him? You know how that is today, right? If Jesus Christ forgives you all your sins,
yes,
are you going to be able to after go to the field so easy and say, ah, he will forgive me anyway? Can you later go back to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I stole some sugar cane, but I know you'll forgive me anyway? No. So true that we will do less sins after we are saved. That's true. But that's not because of your willingness or your strength. That's because Jesus dwells in you. Do you understand? My friends, don't believe a false gospel. These people in Israel were doing the same thing. They were trying with their own righteousness to please God. And I have to tell you and call out to you one more time. If you think you are going to heaven, if you think you are saved based on your own righteousness, you'll be so sadly mistaken. It's a lie. Don't let prosperity gospel come into this village and trick you. You need to become in your heart one with God. And I'm promising you, you can do that today. The law is sending you to the gospel. The law is condemning you so that you go to the gospel. Go to Jesus Christ today and receive forgiveness of sins. Receive the peace that passeth all understanding when you go, maybe in your home, maybe in your inner room, you will bend your knees, and you will go to Jesus Christ, all by yourself, maybe in the field. Where will you go? To be alone with Jesus Christ. Where will you go to have a meeting with Jesus Christ today? Today, not tomorrow. Your life is at stake. And if you've mistaken yourself, and the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart today, run! Run! Don't trust anyone. Only trust Jesus Christ. Run to Him. Go to Him. Confess your sins. Confess that you always thought you were going to do your best to get me saved. You can even say, Azungu told me, not my righteousness, but Jesus Christ, only your righteousness. You're the only way I can have peace, because you bled and died for my sins. Come in my heart. Change me. Convert me. Open my eyes in my heart. So I see you. So I know you. So I love you. So I follow you. And I never have to return again to the hard bondage of sin. Because, Lord, you will make my heart soft and tender and kind. And I will make peace with all men. I will give back that which I have robbed. And I will speak peaceable words to those who are my whom I have spoken evil. What's going to happen to this village then? If you become saved, if Jesus Christ comes into your heart, you don't care about corn anymore. The AIDS coming? Or let it come. You may receive. But that's not your first priority. Then you say in the church, tell me about Jesus. Corn is going to be gone. I'm going to have to need more. But Jesus will stay with me. And He will guide and lead me. You see, then you're going to go to your neighbor. You're going to tell about Jesus Christ. Your neighbors may become saved. You know what's going to happen here? In this village? You are going to be abundantly blessed. First, spiritually.
utalitsika kwambiri kuuzimu.
But then you also see
mukenda kumudzamba sokona
marriages
mukenda bwino.
No drunkenness anymore.
Anda jamanja kuledzera pa kunyamura mwiti balacha achepa mudzi.
No more swearing and lying.
Ndiso ndikutikaniza naso kuthonyana thonyana.
Everybody will take care of each other.
Aliyese atasamalira mzake.
If this village
ngati mudzi
has a revival.
Udzandiki simudzi.
But I'm telling you.
Ndikuze.
And I'm telling each one of you.
Ndikuze kuti alese mwai.
You will never be able to say I never said it.
Simudza namba simuna kuti asadatuze.
And not only am I telling you, I'm warning you.
Ndibonde kukuza kuti ndikuyamba kukuchenjezani.
If you don't go to Jesus Christ.
Kana simutawira wa Yesu Kristo.
If you are not saved by grace alone.
Kana simu mulumusira mwachisomo.
If you don't receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your heart.
Kana simu mulumusira mwachisomo ja Yesu Kristo.
It's eternally lost.
Muzoti ndinota iko muyaya.
Eternal damnation.
Muzokuti mukupita kuchonongeko cha muyaya.
And you think now it's bad that Satan works with his mass force against your family?
Ndiye muganza mabanza pakuima kwa mifori sana na kulima ndi mphamvu zonse banja lanu.
Then after this life.
Zikatamwe uno tsogologo.
If you are not saved by grace.
Ngati mwafa kumusumira kumufira kwa chizomo.
Satan will forever torment you.
Satana atakuzunzani kwa muyaya.
Forever torment you.
Satana nanu ndikupanga mikapolo wake kwa muyaya.
Satan will say.
Zosarana zako anhonaje.
Remember that time?
Kumbuka siku ile jana.
Walking to the field.
Munomabira munda muja.
And your heart was beating.
Tivako magunda gunda.
And I whispered in you.
Ndenda kuza.
Do it.
Kuti iba.
Do it.
Iba.
Go.
Kita.
Nobody is looking.
Lemela kuona.
Get it.
Tenga.
And you did.
Udabali.
Then when you had it in the house.
Ndinofika kunyumba.
You were eating it.
Udaja.
Then I came to you, says the Satan.
Then the boss accused us.
And I said, "Ah, you're a sinner. You were a sinner."
Ndi sana namukuza kuti ah, ukamaza kuba kuja makuja amaza kuti ndi munthu wochimwa.
You took it from the field you stole.
Ukamanga janzako kuna ndakona.
And now you're with me and I'm laughing you to scorn. Ndi ona
ukuti ndikukuseka pano pano.
You believed me.
Yoda kuvirira ndikukupangira.
You trusted me.
Ndikukuvirira.
You served me on earth.
Wanditumikira padziko pansi iwe.
And now you serve me forever, says Satan.
Yebano kumoto kuno kuti vine kuno.
But today.
Marero.
Jesus Christ says this.
Yesu akunena kuti.
The whispers.
Akuja kulonga mwachinunu
kumoto. Come to the gospel.
Bwera kutenga bwino Mungu.
Flee the devil.
Tawe ni sarana yo.
Come to the gospel.
Bwera ni kutenga bwino.
And receive me.
Vandranine.
I can forgive you.
Nikoza kukukirani.
I can give you life.
Nikoza kupasani moyo.
For now.
Moyo mero suru mwite bila kana moyo wapesi.
Will you go to Christ, Jesus Christ today? Kwa
nini mbira kwa Yesu inulero?
Will you go today? To the throne where Jesus Christ is.
Kwa nini mbira pando mene Yesu Kristo wakawa chifumu.
To his feet. And ask for mercy. And receive forgiveness of sin. If you will. Blessed are you. Blessed are you in this village. And I will hear. In area 3. Someone came to faith. Someone loves the Lord Jesus Christ.
Ngakho tsopano adamkonda Yesu Kristo.
In area 3.
Area 3.
Some women came to faith.
Azimai na danda chipulumutso.
And they are praising the Lord.
Anopa akukondwera ndikotamanda Mungu.
In area 3.
Area 3 kuti.
Some men.
Amuna wena.
Have been saved.
Ndapumutsika.
Have been forgiven their sins.
Ndakukudwa machimo awo.
And they are praising the Lord.
Anopa akupembedza ndikotamanda Mungu.
Come let's praise together.
Ndi muzakamusonkhana ngavamphera pamodzi.
We are one core.
Zakanga tosefe ndifamodzi mwa Yesu.
So we can praise him with one accord.
Tikadero tizakari kumpembeza munyimbo imodzi, falatu ibodzi, tosefe ndifomvana.
Amen.
Amen.